I'm always a little skeptical when you get emails and stuff like that from foreigners and from various places. There's a lot of scamming that goes on, which we're aware of that, and a lot of that generates out of places in Africa and in India and Pakistan and places. So I really don't know exactly all how to make out of it, but I don't know how it could. I mean, they're not going to get anything that I know of outside of, I don't even know how they could access information and that type of thing, which you never know. With technology, people can do a lot of different things. And but he called last week. I answered the phone, and I knew it said out of area. And we get those calls, I know, everybody does, and it just said out of area. And I just picked the phone up, hello, which I normally don't even answer those type. Just let it ring if whoever it is, they can leave a message. If they need us, we can get back with them. But I answered the phone, and he asked if this was Truth Impacts Ministries. And I tell he was foreigner, and I said it is. And he said, I wanted to verify that this is Truth Impacts, and is your email truthimpacts@gmail.com? And I told him it is, and he said, I'm gonna send you an email. And I could hear birds in the background, and I could hear a little bit of stuff in the background as I was talking with him. And he said he had he had been searching. I couldn't really understand it. I mean, it was difficult for me to understand what he was saying just because of the language barrier. And he said that he had been searching for God for 9 years, and he had a dream, and the dream included Truth Impacts Ministries, and he was wanting to know if he could send an email, and it explained in the email. I told him, sure. So we hung up, and I recognized, if it's in Pakistan and he called over here, it's probably an expensive phone call, and didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on the phone. So sure enough, a couple hours later, I get an email, and it goes through what he said. And like I said, I really wasn't sure exactly what the man said, what he said, because of the language barrier. But when I got the email, it pretty much said that he'd been searching for God for about 9 years, and he didn't know who or what or how he should search. Meaning, should he search for Buddha? Should he search for Hinduism? Should he search for this? And he was naming all these different ones. Should he look in their information? And he named some of them, which I can't even name, where they glean their insights and their religious philosophies from. And he named Judaism with the Torah and Christianity with the Bible. He just was not sure where to search. But in a dream, he had a dream of this. He could see a green mountain, and in the green mountain, it had Truth Impacts Ministries written upon the mountain. And that there was a clothed man in white told him to find Truth Impacts, and they would be able to tell him who the true God is. And he said, I got online and I searched for Truth Impacts, and it brought me to that. And this is why I'm sharing this with you. And said that he will share with you who the true and living God is. And so I corresponded with him and sent him information about the gospel and about Jesus, and he responded back based on what I said he's read it over and over again and wanted me to go in a little more detail about how did Jesus not have an earthly father, to explain that more in detail. And that's the last correspondence I had with him there. So I don't know. You know, there was never asked anything other than, you know, can you tell me who he is? Can you tell me about him? I've been in search, that type of thing. So y'all pray, whatever that is, if that be legit and he's really a seeker and God's led him to me for a distinct reason. Now, I get stuff on a regular basis from Pakistan, India, and asking me, inviting me to come over or connect with them, that they need teachers to help teach preachers. They don't have resources to do that. Can you partner with us and teach our people how to teach the Bible? And some of those things, like I say, I don't know if they scams or if they the real deal or not, but I keep getting these over and over. And some of them, even the same day, I got another one from another person, and who was giving references to the other places in the states that they have worked with and do work with if I needed references, but they wanted to invite me to come to Pakistan and teach. But something about this one fella, I figured, hey, I'll get y'all praying. We'll figure out exactly what it is. And it may be legit, you know, that he may be a real genuine seeker. We'll see. Mm-hmm. 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 Yes. And they tell him that when they give testimony, that they had a dream of someone or something that awakened them to start searching for Jesus. And then God would send a messenger, send something their way. Oh, and we got to say something about this nice weather. I mean, this is good stuff, isn't it? This weather has felt good, huh? I'm telling you. Felt good, especially in the shade. Really good. It is. No, you don't need no more rain? No. Well, it'll come again. We'll need it. But weather like this makes me want to go run in the brook with Stephanie. Or in the meadow. Huh? Don't that sound better? Anything. Do y'all have anything? I could say cow pasture. The woods. Mm-hmm. Or in some places, they would refer to it as the forest. Huh? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Everything eventually is going to... Eventually, everything is going to be burned up and dissolved. The Bible refers to there's coming a time that the people, that God's going to actually bring his people back to Jerusalem. Yeah. And that there's still going to be some things done as far as some, there will be an assault against Jerusalem. There's going to be, we believe that there'll be some things that'll be rebuilt in Jerusalem that it would appear that's going to have to be done with that. But more than anything, the emphasis is the fact of the people, that according to Romans, there's going to come eventually a day where God's going to save a group of people. At that time, he's going to reveal himself to him. Paul talks about it, I think it's in Romans 11. Right now, there's still that temporary blindness upon the nation. Though there are people, there are Jews that get saved, just like there were Jews in his day. But for the most part, until the times of the Gentiles comes to an end, and God will revert back toward unveiling himself in a major way to Israel, that is still yet to happen. All the details behind it, there is a lot of, as you said, some of that can get somewhat confusing. To narrow it down and point it down to say exactly how it's going to happen, there's still some stuff that we're just not fully aware, other than what God says, like Romans 11. Look in Romans 11. That's currently taking place. You can look at some stuff. Well, you know, the problem with that is that they always, anytime something happens, they'll come up. A lot of times people, these prophecy Bible teachers, will say this is happening as a result of this, but they've been doing that for the last 30, 40 years. Every time it happens, they point to this. This has happened because of this. But it's the same things they keep pointing to at the same times. And because they know people tune into that, and it's selling points. I don't know, you know, to be honest. There are some things that in the books of Isaiah talks about God's going to stir up the kings of the Medes. Now, we believe that that happened with the Babylonians back way then. But there's some things in it that may lend toward that it's even going to happen even again, in the sense that there are some people right now who are the Medes. They just don't go by that name anymore. It's those nomads that now are getting control of the oil in Iraq, the Kurds. The Kurds are the Medes. That's who they are. And they've been suppressed for a long, long time. And they've been treated like the poor man, but they have actually taken control over some of the most wealthiest land in all the world, in the sense of the oil reserves. And what you're going to find is there's a potential that these people are going to rise up in power, and when they do, what will they do to not only in the idea of Iraq, but Iran? See, some teachers teach that there's some still stuff that's going to take place with that, and then there's some that teach that that's been already fulfilled. But the scriptures say that Babylon won't be inhabited anymore when these things take place. And right now, the old city of Babylon is not inhabited. But the scripture refers to it will be a place where sheep, the owls make their nest. Let's just turn there. I think it's in Isaiah 11. I could be wrong if I am. It's Isaiah 11, 12, 13. Let's see. 13, 17. Now we know this has somewhat, we know this actually started or did take place at a time frame in the life of when Babylon was in power, prior to Babylon taking over, because it wasn't a world power at the time that we find when Isaiah is writing these things. It's coming on, though. He says, behold, now this is that faith word, right? The scripture says, I will stir up the Medes against them. We know that who were the two nations that worked together? The Persians and the Medes come together and is the ones who overthrew. Cyrus was a Persian who was a king who overthrew the Babylonians. He says, I will stir up the Medes against them who will not regard silver. You're not going to pay them off. You're not going to buy them off. And as far as gold, they will not delight in it. Also, their bows will dash the young men in pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. But wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. And the hyenas will howl in their citadels, and the jackals in the pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. Now, Babylon, when it takes over, is from what historians, even non-biblical historians would tell you that Babylon, in its heyday, was probably the most world-dominant power that's ever existed on the earth at that time. But it was overthrown. And it was overthrown by nomadic-type people, the Medes and the Persians. And even to this day, the old city, the old capital, Babylon itself, is not inhabited. Now, there's still cities around the area, but that city is not inhabited. Now, some teach, whether I don't know exactly or not, but some hold to that this is actually, it's been partially fulfilled, but it's not been totally fulfilled. That they believe that there's still coming a day that the Medes, which would be the Kurds, will rise again, and they will overthrow the Iranian people. They will take power because they hate them. They hate them, and they're going to overthrow them again. And they believe that this is still yet further to go, because they anticipate that whole area, which is inhabited in places, will eventually be totally overthrown and become so barren that none of it is inhabited. And they foresee, prophetically, they foresee that because they're watching right now the Kurds come in power again. So-called the Medes are gaining financial resources because of the oil. But it's not about the oil. It's not about the money as it is the power that they are going to gain to overthrow the Iranians and totally annihilate them and get them out of the picture. They think some of that is still yet to happen. And no. Mm-mm. No. That's what people say. Mm-mm. I know. Well, the United States is destined to fall, just like every other nation on the earth. It's going to fall. That God says that every nation he has driven his people, he will destroy. And United States are some of the Jews have been driven here. They've come here. They've lived here. What's that? They're all over the world. But he says it. Every place I've driven my people, I will destroy. So that would include us. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. The thing is, it's never been centered around us. America wants to believe it is, but it's not. It's always got a centerpiece over there of God's working globally. And we in America have felt like we're really the only ones in the world that's got this together in all actuality. That's the mentality of America. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons why it's just not brought up. It's not mentioned. And we've only been on the scene for a short period of time. 238 years?
Compared to all the other countries.
I mean, these Babylonians, these Iranians, or these Iraqis, or these Kurds, I mean, they've been functioning where they are for thousands of years. You know? I mean, because Abraham and all them were of the Mesopotamia, the Chaldeans, the land of Ur, where they all come from. They were Gentiles, pagans who worshipped other gods, and God called him out of that and started a people from him who became a people who were passing through, the Hebrew, as they were known. That's what Hebrew means, passing through. Who God, and the only reason they became known as Jews is the result of Judah. That's where that comes from. But God's covenant people, and he tells them, I hadn't dealt with any other nation the way that I dealt with you, and I gave you my laws for a purpose, to make my ways known in the entire world. God says he would destroy all the nation he's driven his people to. See if you can pull anything up like that. If when he's dealing with Moab, and he's dealing with Ammon, and he's dealing with, and it may be in a whole nother book, but I know it's there. I've read it. Which 32 of Jeremiah? It's possible. I know that's dealing with what he's going to do, bringing his people back, and he's going to put his fear of the Lord in about verse 48 or so. Isn't that what it says in 48?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every nation he's driven his people, he's going to destroy. 46:28. Let me see what I got there. Yeah, that's it. 46:28. He says, "For I'll make a complete end of all nations to which I have driven you, but I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished." It is inevitable. "Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a complete end of all nations to which I have driven you, but I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished." And I do have several things written about 30:11. What's 30:11? Yes, because it probably says it again. Yeah. Verse 10, let's just start there. "Therefore, do not fear, O Jacob." Chapter 30 of Jeremiah in verse 10. 30:10, which is saying the same thing as 46:28. "Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice, and I will not let you go altogether unpunished." And that's pretty much exactly what he's saying in chapter 46. And what he's also, we find in Romans. That's what we were talking about in Romans. Romans 9, Romans 11. The idea of you got vessels prepared for destruction and vessels of mercy. Isaiah 17:14, what does that say? I got some references toward it. It may just be a connecting idea of thought. Mine would say, "Then behold, an evening tide, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us." They're going to come to an end. And you see that pattern. God judged his people, and he punished them. He dealt with them over and over. But every nation that he used to judge his people with, he ultimately destroyed. Now, how all that, the paradox in those things, is beyond our capability. Now, just be honest. How to figure that out?
He said that, "I will punish my people somewhere."
But hey, well, he just said that.
Woe to them
who does it.
Because you don't have to treat them mean. You know, "I'm doing this to them. You be mean to my people, I'm gonna..."
Yeah, well, I mean, he says it specifically.
Yeah.
That wherever he drives his people, they're going to come to an utter end. In every single nation. And this is the problem. He judged his people, but when he used other nations to judge them, they thought they had the power to actually commit this judgment against them. Even though they didn't know God was using them to judge them, they thought they had the strength to overcome them. to take advantage of them. They thought that was of them. And God says, I'm going to use you, and you'll have no idea that I'm using you to deal with my people. And when I'm done using you of dealing with my people, I will then deal with you. But until then, I will let you fulfill my judgment upon my people. But when I'm done, I will then punish you. That's what he says. Right. And we've seen that. Look in Isaiah 10 before we go. Isaiah 10 and verse number 5. This is a good example. There's several others throughout the scriptures that gives us a tidbit of this working here. But this was a time that God was using Assyria and Sennacherib to deal with his people and their rebellion, the northern 10 tribes, which would be Jacob, Israel, who he dispersed among the nations. He says in Isaiah 10:5, woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. That means God's using them as an instrument of judgment against his people. I will send him against an ungodly nation and against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so. What does that mean? He doesn't mean so, or he doesn't think so. He doesn't know I'm using him. He doesn't think I'm using him. He thinks he's doing this. But it is in his heart, to destroy and cut off not a few nations. For he says, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno the Carchemish? Is not Hamath the Arpad? Is not Samaria the Damascus? That is saying, is not my places legit and just like every other place? As my hand has found the kingdom of the idols who carved images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not also do to Jerusalem and her idols? Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. Also I have removed the boundaries of the people and have robbed their treasuries. So I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. My hand has found like a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth, and there was no one who moved his wing nor opened his mouth with even a peep. And then the Lord says, shall the axe boast against itself, against whom chops with it? That's rhetorical. No. Or shall the saw exalt itself against who saws with it? As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or a staff could lift up as if it were not wood. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts will send leanness among his fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. So in essence, this is what God is saying. That I'm going to use him, and when I'm done using him, I will punish him. He don't know that, though. He thinks this is of his own accord, and he's doing what he wants. He has no clue that I'm using him to accomplish my purposes. And when I'm done with him, I'm going to destroy him. And he's done that time after time after time after time after time. And he's going to keep doing it. People think that it's them, that it's their strength and their power accomplishing this. And that's what God says over and over. I'm the one who exalts kings. I'm the one who brings them down. I'm the one who lifts up and brings down. I'm the one who gives strength to nations to overrule and power. And when I'm done with them, I take them down. And he's going to do that with every single one of them. And America is not excluded. I know it's hard for America to believe that, but we're not. When he's done, he's done. And it's over. It's over.
Really,
we have to trade her so much behind the scenes. Well, we don't know. That's just it. We have no